Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 22, Treatment of Acute Methemoglobinemia. If you find this podcast helpful, please tell a friend or colleague about it, or send them the link to the show notes for this episode at pharmacyjoe.com/episode22. As usual, I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes. Methemoglobinemia is a potentially life-threatening form of functional anemia. There are two types of methemoglobinemia, congenital and acquired. In this episode, I'll be discussing the recognition and treatment of acquired methemoglobinemia. First, some background information. Methemoglobin is formed when the ferrous ions of heme are oxidized to the ferric state. The ferric hemes of methemoglobin are unable to bind oxygen, therefore causing a functional anemia. Acquired methemoglobinemia is typically a reaction to medications. The most common medications that cause this reaction are benzocaine, prilocaine, lidocaine, and dapsone. Several other medications and chemicals have been reported to cause methemoglobinemia, and I have a longer list of them for you in the show notes. So, how do you recognize acquired methemoglobinemia? The signs of methemoglobinemia depend on the degree of methemoglobin present. At 10 to 20% methemoglobin, you'll see cyanosis or blue or gray appearing skin, lips, and nail beds. From 20 to 30% methemoglobin, the patient will experience lightheadedness, anxiety, headache, and tachycardia. 30 to 50%, the patient will have fatigue, confusion, dizziness, and tachypnea. From 50 to 70% methemoglobin, the patient may be in a state of coma, may have seizures, acidosis, or arrhythmia, and then greater than 70% is associated with death. Pulse oximetry is inaccurate in the presence of significant methemoglobinemia and cannot be relied on. Suspect methemoglobinemia when the following occur. Number one, sudden cyanosis after ingestion of a drug that may cause methemoglobinemia. Number two, hypoxia that does not improve with increasing amounts of oxygen. Number three, chocolate brown or otherwise discolored blood during phlebotomy. Several years ago, I encountered a 60-year-old male, status post transesophageal echocardiogram, who developed sudden cyanosis, tachycardia, and confusion at the end of his procedure. Oxygen was applied, a rapid response was called, and a blood gas was drawn by a respiratory therapist. The therapist, shout out to Ray, immediately noticed a chocolate brown discoloration of the patient's blood and suspected methemoglobinemia. We then discovered the patient had been given topical benzocaine spray prior to the TEE procedure. As the blood gas was being tested in the lab, I obtained methylene blue from the main pharmacy and started to determine what dose would be needed if the sample was positive for methemoglobin. In our case, methemoglobinemia was suspected from the onset because of the discolored blood, and so the first blood gas sample was checked for the percent methemoglobin. But what if you didn't suspect methemoglobinemia until after the blood gas was drawn? Check to see if the pulse oximetry is 90% or less and the blood gas PO2 is 70 millimeters of mercury or higher. If it is, then you can suspect methemoglobinemia. Now, as far as treatment, the primary treatment is methylene blue. Methylene blue accelerates the conversion of methemoglobin to hemoglobin, effectively reversing the functional anemia caused by methemoglobinemia. Because high levels of methemoglobinemia are a medical emergency, methylene blue should be obtained and brought to the bedside the moment methemoglobinemia is suspected. Treatment with methylene blue should be given whenever the methemoglobin levels are 20% or higher or the patient is symptomatic. The patient should be transferred to an ICU setting so that the patient's respiratory and cardiovascular systems can be supported if needed. Paradoxically, at high doses, methylene blue can actually cause methemoglobinemia. So dosing of methylene blue, you give 1 to 2 milligrams per kilo IV over 5 minutes, and this should be given immediately if the methemoglobin levels are 20% or higher or the patient is symptomatic. This dose can be repeated in 1 hour if needed. The administration of methylene blue will render standard detection of methemoglobin inaccurate, and other methods must be used. If you're interested in those, I'll have them linked up in the show notes. Most patients will improve rapidly and not require any further treatment. For the contraindications and monitoring for methylene blue, it is contraindicated in G6PD deficiency, although you'll never do pretreatment screening for this. That's just not going to work out. So this is more of a G-whiz fact. And then methylene blue rarely causes serotonin syndrome, so you could monitor for that after treatment. Alternative treatments for methemoglobinemia would be intravenous ascorbic acid. This has been used when methylene blue is unavailable, and I'll link up a case in the show notes, although the case describes a very slow resolution of the methemoglobinemia compared to what you would expect with methylene blue. I think it was about 50 hours for it to reverse. And methylene blue, I would expect within an hour or two. Blood transfusions may be considered as well, depending on the severity of the disease. Now, to wrap up the case, the patient we responded to after TEE had a methemoglobin level of over 40% and was treated successfully with a single dose of methylene blue. His cyanosis improved remarkably in the first hour of treatment. The case was discussed widely amongst the pharmacy and respiratory staff at my hospital, and two other patients had methemoglobinemia recognized and treated within a year of the first case. Providers were particularly appreciative of the guidance pharmacy was able to give them in these critical situations. And I'd like to shout out to Doug for taking care of the late night methemoglobinemia. Have you encountered a case of methemoglobinemia? I'd love to hear about it. Send me an email to joe@pharmacyjoe.com. And remember, you can share the notes for today's show by going to pharmacyjoe.com/episode 22. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.